Amen. Let us turn our attention to the Lord right now in John chapter 1, verse 50 and 51. I'll read for you three different verses of Scripture in different places. John, Gospel of John 1 and verse 50, Jesus answered and said unto him, speaking of Nathanael, who he saw under the fig tree, he said, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Is that all it took to get you to believe that I'm the Son of God? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter, say that word with me, hereafter, one more time, hereafter, from this moment on, ye shall see heaven open and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man, the man, Jesus Christ. Then looking in Luke 22 and 69, we find that word again, hereafter, as they begin to take Jesus to the cross. He said, hereafter, once you crucify me, hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. This was not an intentional sermon this morning that bled off of Tuesday night. I preached about the right hand authority. It just happened that way. But hereafter shall the Son of Man, didn't say the Son of God, he said the Son of Man, sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then John 14 and 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. Because I go and sit on the right hand of the power of God. Hereafter, from this moment on, your life is going to change. I want to talk about and preach for a little while on the title, Living in the Hereafter. Living in the Hereafter. Lord, I'm thankful for your blessings today. I'm thankful for the day. I'm glad you put me where you put me. I'm glad you planted me where you planted me. There's times I did not understand. Lord, I thank you for not listening to prayers that I've prayed and ignored them when your will could not be done. I'm thankful, Lord, for every door you've opened. I'm thankful for every door you have shut. And Lord, through time, I have learned to lean on you through everything that I need. Lord, teach us to lean on you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Living in the hereafter. Many times we refer to the hereafter as this mysterious state of being after one dies. They're gone to the hereafter. They're living in the hereafter. Because what we want to equate the after is death. Yeah, it's the hereafter. The one song says to the great unknown. Because the Bible says there's no one. And this is why I get confused with people that get so hard about some things that they believe about salvation and so forth and so on. Because there's nobody ever come back from heaven or hell and said, this is what you got to do to get there. There's nobody ever come. The only one the Bible says that ever knew that was the same one, it says in Romans, that descended is the same one that ascended. He's the only one. Nobody else came back of the report saying, don't do this, you'll go to hell. No one said, you don't have to do that and you can still make heaven. We don't have that report. So what we do is we feel after the Lord, if happily we might find him. And you choose who you want to lead you. You're here today because evidently you've chose me to lead you. And I will tell you, I cannot lead you where I have not been. But every place I have been, I won't come. Does not the bride and the spirit and the church say come? Because they're bringing you to a place it's already been. That's why Christ said, follow
me. Go to a place where I have already been. And then Paul said, I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow him. I only want to go to places where somebody has already been. Woo, hallelujah. And that's why I teach about infilling of the Holy Ghost, and I preach about miracles, and I preach about all these things, because I've been there. Now, if I haven't been there, I can't preach about. I can't guide you into what I haven't experienced. So you have to choose your guide carefully. And some people choose their guide on where they want to go and how far they want to go and not where they need to go. I want someone who's been all the way, amen? I want someone who's experienced everything that God can give on earth. So you don't need that Holy Ghost. You follow that guy, okay? But there's other people who have experienced more of God. And I want everything. Are you hearing me? I want everything that the highest has to offer the lowest. Because I'm nothing but a piece of clay. As I said, I'm the pot that the plant fits in. He can change the pot, but we don't need to change the plant. He's the living thing, and I'm the dead thing. Oh, my God. Living in the hereafter. Jesus said things like, to get us on board this morning with my thought, he said things like, he that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. I like that part about that never dying. I like that part about living now in the hereafter. See, y'all gonna catch it in a minute. He's talking about living in the hereafter now. It's not, well, he's in the hereafter. The here part of the hereafter usually refers to some monumental, life-changing, memorable experience that divides time. The hereafter. It's something, and of course we think of death as dividing time. It's, you know, before you die and after you die. But truly, the hereafter, whether you know it or not, you are living in many hereafters right now. Many hereafters. How many of you can remember some significant event that began a hereafter in your life? Yeah. Just think. Day you got married is hereafter. You're living in the hereafter. You had children. You're living in the hereafter. From that moment on, it was life-changing. And you live out what happened now. It divided time. That happened before I got married. This happened after I got married. That happened before I had kids. This happened after I got kids. How many of you went through Hurricane Rita? Okay, now we go, well, that was before Rita. That was after Rita. See, my dad died right after Rita. That's how I say it. He died right after. He went through Rita, and it wasn't long before he died. So that's how it divided time. Are you with me this morning? Many times we don't realize that we live in the hereafter. And there are some things in life that changes you so much that you're never the same. You're never the same. It can even be the death of a loved one. It can be the life of a child. There are so many things. Even Samson, when he took the Nazirite vow, big deal. I'm not gonna touch a dead thing. I can't eat, drink strong drink. I can't. Okay, but when he killed that lion, the lion roared against him. And he killed the lion, and he had nothing in his hands. He said, who am I now? Who am I now? It was a life-changing experience that he began to live in the hereafter. David killed the Goliath, and it began the hereafter. We only talk about David, really, we don't know much about him, but a shepherd boy. But once he killed that giant, we talk about David in the hereafter. In my text this morning, we find that two brothers, Philip had found the Lord. And he finds his brother Nathanael. He knew where to find him, and he finds him. And he says, "We have found of whom Moses and the law spake of the prophets which they did write. It is Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That's going to be the Christ." And Nathanael popped off and said, "You got to be kidding me. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth, a king? You got to be crazy." He said, "Come and see." Believing, seeing is, yeah, right. Come and see. And here he goes, and before he gets to Christ, he said, "Oh, behold, behold." He said, "Here comes a man, a Nazarite indeed, in whom there is no guile." And he goes, "You got to be kidding me. He knows me, and I didn't know him. But he knew me before I got." He said, "Oh, a bow before your throne. You're the Son of the Most Highest." He said, "Just because I told you that I saw you sitting under that fig tree is enough to get you to call me the Highest? Is that enough?" He said, "I'm going to tell you something. From hereafter, once you see who I am, from hereafter, your life's going to be different. And from hereafter, you will see the heaven open, and you will see angels ascending and descending upon the ladder." Why was he saying that? Because it was the fulfillment of what Jacob saw in his dream. It was the communication between heaven and earth. Hereafter, let me tell you, if you think that's something, that I just saw you sitting under the fig tree and I never met you in my life, you just wait. And it was the beginning of a monumental thing in his life that would change so that Christ could say, "Follow me and I'll make you." Yes, sir. Are you hearing me this morning? I want to live in the hereafter. Oh, yes, I want to live by what I know in God. I don't want to go back to what the days of darkness and chaos and unbelief. I want to live in the hereafter. And so when we look at these scriptures here, we find that there is always this telltale time that began your hereafter. You can probably remember. See if you can remember. Do you remember where you were when the space shuttle blew up? When you first saw it? I remember exactly where I was at. Okay, let me see. Do you remember when you got the Holy Ghost? I'm trying to get to something here. Yeah, you see, it becomes this division of time. Jesus had these disciples he had called, and they're following him really because they're sick of the kingdom of Herod and they want a new kingdom, and he looked like a good political figure. He talked like he had, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And he had a way with words that just pulled people out of the boat. "Bye, Dad. Bye, Mom." That's what the Spirit of God, as soon as Elijah told Elisha, he said, he threw the mantle on him. What did he say? "Bye, Mom, bye, Dad." There's something about the Spirit of God that draws a person like nothing else. And so we find these disciples following him, but they really don't know what they're following him for. And they end up at a wedding at Cana of Galilee. And at this party, my brother, they run out of wine. And Jesus, being about 30 years old, the mother of Jesus looks to him and says, "They have no wine." She must have known something. She must have watched him around the house do some things. I don't know what they were, but. And he said, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? My hour has not come." And she said to the disciples and servants, "Whatsoever he says, do it. Do it." I wish I could get a church and some people that whatever the Lord says, you just do it. You don't question it. You don't sit down and say, "Well, I need to counsel with you about that. I need to talk to you." You just do it. And so you know the story, how he changed the water into wine. And the Bible says that when he did that, that the disciples saw that, and then they believed on him. At that time, there is something to this guy. Because at that time, we have not seen any miracles. It said this was the beginning of miracles of Christ at Cana of Galilee. Wow. And it would not be just the beginning, but hereafter. It was the mark in which set him as being a miracle working man. And it would be the simplest of all miracles. I pray this morning, if you haven't had a miracle in your life, you're not living in the hereafter. There needs to be something in your life that you say, I was sick yesterday, and I remember he healed me just like that. I was lost, and he saved me just like that. There needs to be that time where you can give Christ total credit for what he did so you can live in the hereafter. Because once you have that miracle, my brothers and sisters, your faith is different. Your hope is elevated. Hallelujah. You got a no-so in you now that you didn't have. Yeah, I heard about them in old days. I heard about how they got healed. But Lord, when it's you and you got your miracle and you got what God promised he would give unto you, then all of a sudden you're walking in the hereafter. You're walking beyond that point. You're not living of hoping you get a miracle, hoping the dead rise, hoping. I have seen it. And so we find this first miracle that Jesus did was in Cana of Galilee of turning the water into wine. Does anybody in the house know where he did the second miracle at? Anybody? Anybody? Anybody want to take a guess? How about Cana of Galilee? How about it's easier to do it the second time in the same place? Ooh, I'm teaching you something now. Because once you've done it, you're in the hereafter. Tell this side. Once you've experienced you're living in the hereafter, you know he can do it. You have no doubt he can do it. So it's a lot easier to pray for people even that's had miracles in their life. They just get more miracles. And you think, boy, they get all the miracles. You just get one. Just get you one good old-fashioned miracle. And I'm here to tell you, then you can believe for the next one so much easier than you did the first one. Living in the hereafter. So let's look. I want to show you. Don't take my word for it. Let's go to John 4 and 45. It's very interesting. Then when he was come, he turned the water into wine. We've already done that. Cana of Galilee. Then when he was come to Galilee, the Galileans received him. Why? Having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem at the feast. For they also went unto the feast. So we have a whole bunch of people who are believing because they saw, they were at the party. Man, I remember when that, Lord, hallelujah, if he can do that, there's no telling what God can do. And they begin to live in that hereafter. And so Jesus came into Cana of Galilee where he made the water into wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. This is not that one that we that come for his servant to be healed. This is not the centurion. This is a nobleman. Different miracle. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. He would have never sought Jesus out had he not known that he turned the water into wine. But I'm telling you, the man was living in the hereafter. He was living off of yesterday's blessings, and he said, you know, if that guy could turn water into wine, oh, my son, he can heal my son. Let me find, he's in town somewhere. Let me go. His faith was up. Why? Because he was living in the hereafter. Then he said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. And many times, I think Brother Doucette I think you told me many times, I was one of those. He said, you call me Doubting Thomas all you want to, but the truth is every disciple doubted. You go back and read it real closely, it said they all doubted. We just give Thomas the blame because he wasn't there that day, but they all doubted, and you did too. But I can't tell you how many people I know have said, well, Lord, if there's any to that Holy Ghost, let me see, let me. And Brother Doucette saw for himself. Let me tell you, Brother Doucette, I'm not painting, he's a man of great faith. Can you say amen? Why? He's living in the hereafter. He's living off of what he saw before. And so it's a lot easier to believe in the present when you've experienced the past. And I'm trying to bring all of you to the point that you experience God in a miraculous way. If you don't want to get prayed for, that's your choice. That's fine. Go ahead, be sick. Whatever you want to do, we'll still pray for you. But if you want to be healed, if you want to be saved, and you want a miracle in your life, he said you got to cry out for it. Blind Bartimaeus heard he was coming. He could have just sat there. But once he got his healing, he was living in the hereafter. My. The lame man that sat at the gate called Beautiful was begging, but as soon as he got healed, he went to leaping and jumping and running. You think Brother Doucette, Brother Douglas did something this morning? He didn't do nothing compared to what the lame man did. You hear me? He didn't do nothing compared to what the lame man did. He was running and jumping in the temple. Oh, shame on you. He was living. He couldn't do that as long as he was sick. He had to stay outside. But, I want to live, my brothers and sisters, in the hereafter. I want to be excited about what God did yesterday, because what he did yesterday tells me he can do more tomorrow. If the scripture is true, he can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now, the nobleman saith unto him, sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And I'm going to show you, he must have checked his watch. As soon as Jesus said that, the seventh hour of the day. Okay, I got to head back home. And we'll see that he lived at least a day's journey to get to Jesus. Watch. And as he was now going down or back to his house, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. Woo, thy son, he's well. Then inquired he of them the hour, which he began to amend. What hour did that fever break? When did he get better? And they said unto him, it was yesterday. That's why I know he was at least a day's journey away. It was yesterday, because they went out and met him probably halfway, right? So he is at least one day out. He traveled to get his son healing. And we can't even get people to get in the prayer line. And he traveled at least one day, one day there, one day back, 2 days. But they meet him somewhere along the way. He said, they told him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. See, they looked at their life. It's breaking. It's breaking. It's the seventh hour. Oh, and the man says, and the father knew it. It was the same hour in which Jesus saith unto him, thy son liveth. Woo! And himself believed and his whole house. That's what happens when you live in the hereafter. Woo, that's what happened. It's not just about you. It's about your whole household. He checked his clock. Seventh hour. What time did he? Seventh hour. Woo, wow. And I'm going to live. I've seen two miracles now. Hallelujah. My faith is, it's high now. And he began to live. And his whole household is living. I want my whole household to live in the hereafter. The hereafter don't start when you die, folks. Let's look a little deeper. The disciples and the world believed the miracles of Jesus. They believed he performed them. But they didn't know the power of the performance. It was much like Samson, who didn't look like he was strong. If he had been Mr. Atlas, they'd have said, how many weights can you pump? You know, what energy bar are you eating? But they knew not whence his strength came. And what they wanted to know was the source of his power, the source of his strength, because he didn't look like he could do it. Neither did Jesus. And so they saw all the miracles. Joseph's son, he goes to sleep like we do. He hurts like we do. Where does he get this power from? So Philip is asking, as Christ was, oh, it's Philip. Oh, I forgot. It's the same Philip that I started my text with. Because he's asking Christ, show us the Father. Because he's praying the Father. He's talking about the power of the Father and all this kind of stuff. He said, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. This is the same one who went and told his brother, come and see this man. Oh, he knows everything. He is the Christ. He's Joseph's son, but he's still the Christ. But now, show us the Father, and it suffices us. And he said, Philip, how long have I been with you? And you've seen all these miracles, and you still say, show me? When you're the one that went and got Nathanael, your brother, and said, come and see? Watch John 14, 10. He said, believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that's already sitting on the throne. No, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. You got to understand the Son of Man and the Son of God. Mary's boy, God's son. As a man, he bled and died and got sleepy and tired and weary in a boat. But as God's son, he got on the bow of the boat and said, peace be still. And the winds and the waves obeyed him. And the disciples said, what manner of man is this? That the wind, he was God's son and he was Mary's son. And so it is when you read, he talks about, I am in my Father and my Father in me. We're not sitting by each other. I am in him and he is in me. Now you two are sitting by each other. But you're not the same. But you got the same spirit. Right? Because the Bible says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one spirit, and the self same spirit unto us all. So when you read about the Father, you can replace that word with spirit. For God is a spirit. So why is the Spirit the Father? It's because the Spirit is the Father of all things. Nothing exists without the Spirit of God. He's the Father of the earth. He's the Father of the universe. He's the Father of these pews. He's the Father of you. Right? But it is the Spirit of God that created all things. It even says he's the Father of lights. And so it was the Spirit of God that breathed into Adam and he became the living soul. You can always substitute the word Father for Spirit. For no man cometh unto God except the Father draw him. It didn't say Spirit. It said Father. Why? Because it is the Spirit that draws you. Whew. And it was the Holy Ghost or the Spirit that I read to you that overshadowed Mary. And God became the Father. Because it was the Spirit. And here he is telling them that that Spirit dwells in me. Not beside me, not over me, not under me, or it is in me. God is a Spirit, and no man hath seen God at any time. But they saw Christ. What they saw was Mary's boy. And they wanted to know, by what power are you doing this? He said, it's by the Spirit I'm doing this. It's by the power of God that I'm doing this. Because he said, I can do nothing. As Mary's boy said, I can do nothing. But yet as God's son said, I can do all things. Are you with me? Okay. Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father, or I'm in the Spirit, and the Spirit, or the Father, is in me. I think that's what the born-again experience is about, the last time I checked, is when the Spirit comes in you, and you are in it. Or else believe me for the very work's sake. See, he was trying to establish something that they would receive. Are you getting this? Good. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, now watch, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these. Man, he's turning water into wine. He's raising the dead. He's blinded eyes are open. Greater works. What are you talking about? Greater works shall he do because I go to the Spirit. I go to the Father. And if I go not away, I cannot send back to you the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Greater works, greater works. There must be a greater work than raising the dead. There must be a greater work than healing cancer. What could it be? The Spirit would do greater works than healing and turning water into wine and raising the dead because he goes to the Father by the way of the cross. And so when we look at the cross, my brothers and sisters, it is the dividing time for people, for the world's hereafter. Everything before Christ is called BC. And everything after Christ was called AD, after his death. So you're living in the hereafter of the cross. When you say it's 2015, that's the hereafter from the cross. It was that monumental event that divided time. Stay with me. Jesus continued to do these miracles, and they thought they would stop him. So they put him on a cross, not knowing that the greatest miracle was yet to come. Not knowing that they were empowering him to do greater works than these, and that he would empower the church to do greater works than these. The greatest hereafter is not the time that he was on the cross. It's not because it's AD or BC. If he would have died and never rose again, then bad news for you and I. But if he would have died and rose again and went to heaven and not sent back the Comforter, what good did it do? Unless he can be in me and I in him. That's why he looked at them and he said, greater work shall you do than these because I go to my Father. And if I don't go, I can't send back my Spirit. When he sat down, he said, come. It wasn't a position on a throne. It wasn't. He's on the right. Father's in the middle and Holy Spirit's over there somewhere. That's not what he was talking about. The right hand, as I mentioned Tuesday night, was always the power. We give the right hand to fellowship. Give me your right hand. He's my right hand man. It is the power. And so that the power of God, now listen close, was given to the Son of Man. You got to understand that. It was not given to the Son of God because he already had it. It was given to the Son of Man. He said, you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand. So that Jesus, Mary's boy, had all the power that the Son of God had too, because he went to his Father. Hallelujah. There's no greater work, my brothers and sisters, than being born again. If you say, now you got cancer and you're not going to live long, or you can be born again. Which do you want? I'll take the born again. There's nothing to compare, Brother Johnson. Do you remember the night that you were born again? Do you really? I mean, that's a long time. You remember? What happened? You get excited. You get, you know what? You know why you're here right now? Because you're living in the hereafter. You're living in the hereafter. I'm living. Say, how do you? I'm so excited. Woo, I stay excited about what God's doing. Why? Because I know what He's already done. I've already experienced some things that God's done. And so once you experience, I'm like the nobleman. Hell, he's back in town. Oh, if he could turn water into wine, then he can heal my sick son. I'm here to tell you, you hadn't had a miracle, you need one. You can't wait for your only miracle to be the raising of the dead on the last day. You better die with a lot of faith. Because Paul even said, if the dead don't rise, let's eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. But because he's healed me, he ever healed you? You sure? You're living in the hereafter then. Because up there, there's no sickness. Up there, there's no pain. Up there, did God ever touch you and taken you out of depression and sorrow and anxiety and all these things that the life can put on you? There's none of that up there. So when God does it, you're already, my brothers and sisters, living in the hereafter. Whew. Let me tell you, as you rise, the greatest miracle that you need is the Holy Ghost. The greatest miracle you need is to be born again, not of the will of the flesh, but by the will of God. Let me tell you, you don't choose the time you get saved. God chooses the time, and you've got to be willing to accept it. I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you from the foundation of the earth. I knew right where you would be in Carlos, Louisiana this very morning. I knew that. You didn't know that, but I did. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that you walked in here and found what you found. And once God does a miracle, how many ever had a miracle in your life? Once God does one, I'm telling you, there's a storehouse of things that God can do for you. So as you come this morning, if you need the miracle of the Holy Ghost, come and get it. It's for you. Let me tell you, He won't withhold it from you. You got to seek it. Get after it. Hallelujah. Get after that miracle. Seek after it, because you will find it if you seek after it. Hallelujah. If you need a miracle, your children are way out there somewhere and you don't know if they'll ever find God, and you need a miracle in your life. Let me tell you, tap back into one God's already done. Look back at what something God's already done and say, Lord, if you could do that, then you can do this too. Lord, when they came across the Jordan River and they came across, they set up these stones. They set up the stones as a monument, memorial to their children's children. To why? To let them know that God brought us across this river. He brought us across this Jordan. It was a miracle. Let me tell you, we could have never survived it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us. They would have swallowed us up quick. It's a miracle you're here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This family wants the miracle of the Holy Ghost. It's the miracle of the Holy Ghost. Not just for one of them, but the whole household wants the miracle of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I want you to step forward, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. I want some good brothers and sisters to come around you. Hallelujah. You remember this little boy when he first came in? Lord, look how precious he is. Not that he wasn't precious then, but you couldn't hold him down. And through them coming to church, disciplined in their own lives, this child followed in their steps. And I want this couple to receive the Holy Ghost so this child will follow in their steps. Hallelujah. Let me tell you, your coming's not been in vain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lord, in your precious name, I ask you to touch him, Lord. Hallelujah. Give them that blessed miracle.